Name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Well, no wonder. By the time we get to this passage in Luke's gospel, Jesus has asked a lot of his followers, his friends, and everybody that he has come into contact with. In the past few weeks, we've heard Jesus challenging us in these gospel readings. He said that we must be neighbors to outsiders, even to love our enemies. He said that we're supposed to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to our dinner parties. That we are supposed to completely rethink who we see as our family. He's told us not to worry about the 99 sheep in our flock, but to leave them to their own devices and go after that one who is lost. He's demanded that we give away all we have, all that we hold dear, and to take up our own crosses in order to follow him. Seems like maybe he's trying to shake us out of our complacency here. And we've even left out the verses that precede this week's reading, these apostles' bold request, or is it their desperate demand, increase our faith. Those preceding verses, we should probably consider them. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, "I repent," you must forgive them. Really? Seems like you're asking too much of us here, Jesus. But Jesus is trying to teach us some hard lessons. It's completely understandable that we, like his followers, might sense that our faith is inadequate to meet such demands. Even though we know on some level that everything Jesus is asking us is right and good, it's hard to see how we can have the strength to accomplish these tasks. I mean, life's hard enough as it is, isn't it? Just meeting the demands that life puts on us these days, here, even here in Jackson Hole, maybe especially here in Jackson Hole in 2019, it seems daunting. Whether you're doing your best to scratch out a living in the county with the greatest disparity of income in the nation, or if you're fairly comfortable, or maybe very comfortable, there's always challenges in this fast-paced, connected world that we live in. Every day, it's something. But I do want to acknowledge your struggles. I want to acknowledge our struggles. Life can be hard at times, and it takes faith not to be beaten down by it sometimes. One of the things that I love most about Jesus, and it's especially emphasized in Luke's gospel, is the love and compassion that he shows for all of those around him, even while he's asking hard things of them. He shows them how beloved they are, how beloved we are, and as he acknowledges the hardness of our lives and asks us to do better. If we can't imagine how we're going to do better in this life, or even how we're going to face the day-to-day challenges we all face, what are we supposed to do? Well, I guess we've got to have faith. But is faith something we can even have? I mean, is it even something? Is it like a coat or a phone or a car? Well, obviously, no. Faith is not an object that we can somehow own. So what is faith? Is it a tool? Like a hammer? Or a waffle iron? Something we can pull out and use when the need arises? That hammer stays in the toolbox until There's a picture that needs to be hung, and that waffle remains in the cupboard until somebody's hungry for breakfast. Is faith a tool? Well, it's not that kind of a tool. It's not something that we can put away till we need it and then pull it out and put it to work. Faith is a way of being. That sounds a little abstract, doesn't it? It even sounds a little abstract to my ear as I say it. But if you think about it this way, to have faith is like to have integrity or to have courage. To have courage is to act in the face of fear. To have integrity is to do what we say and say what we do. Faith, courage, and integrity aren't just feelings, though we all know what the absence of them feel like in our lives. Doubt, fear, and inauthenticity can paralyze us, or at least slow us down and cause us discomfort and unhappiness. And that was probably why the apostles were asking Jesus to increase their faith that day. They must have felt that what they were lacking in their lives was the capacity to live in faith, to live into the demands that life made of them, but also to live into the demands that Jesus was making of them. Not only making of them, but showing them how to live into that life in his own way of being. So I think that the only way to have faith is to live faithfully. And that presents its own challenges, because the only way to live faithfully and authentically is to trust. During this long season of what we call ordinary time, these Sundays between Pentecost and Advent, we've been focusing on the great fact that we're all God's children. I like to say we're all God's kids, that we are beloved, that we are okay, and that at the core of our beings, we can never be separated from God. Do you feel that? Do you know that God is love, and that you come from God, and you will return to God? But more importantly, that you live in God, that God's power is what keeps you going, is the juice that fuels your life, even on those days when you're not really feeling it? Do you trust that you are beloved? I didn't ask you if you believe that you're beloved. I asked you, do you trust that you're beloved? Because Christianity has made too much of belief, I think. And I don't say that to shock you or to sound heretical, but when our faith is reduced to a set of axioms, a list of tenets that we must be convinced of to sign on to in order to be included in the club, or to earn salvation somehow, or to work our way into heaven, I think when faith is reduced to belief, we're missing the main point. Belief, you see, is all in our heads. That's where it lives, and that's where it can stay, safe and sound. But faith lives right here in our hearts. And trust in the goodness and love of God, which is the central message that Jesus embodies, is the power that brings us back to ourselves, joins us to one another and to God, and it's the power that can heal and feed us, and not only us, but all of God's creation. Faith isn't always safe. It's riskier, because it can call us to be new people, new beings, if you will. The apostles made a bold demand of Jesus that day. They didn't ask, Jesus, could you please increase our faith? No, it wasn't a timid request at all. It almost sounds a little desperate. Increase our faith. Notice the exclamation point at the end of that sentence. I don't know how it works for all of you, but through learning some hard lessons in my life, I've come to see that I can't think my way into a new way of being. I have to be my way into a new way of thinking. And somehow, and I'm not exactly sure how that works, I think the Holy Spirit is involved somehow, though, I can live my way into a new way of being. By fits and starts, that's for sure. But through living in faith and trusting in God's love, small changes happen. And small changes add up. We can't measure our faith, quantify it. We can't even know for sure how much faith we have at any given time. But we can see the results when we live faithfully, trusting that we are beloved. When we live and act in faith, we live fully. And to live fully means that we live beyond our own individual needs. I've heard it said that hurt people hurt people. Well, I also believe that beloved people love people. And they love God. And they love all of creation. Jesus doesn't seem to care how much faith we even have, thankfully for me. He just says that we only need faith the size of a mustard seed. And with just that much faith, we can do amazing things. Do you know how big a mustard seed is? It's like that big. And that's the difference that even a little faith can make in our lives and in the world. Uproot a mulberry tree and throw it into the sea? Well, I suppose my little bit of faith can do that, and I'm confident that it can do more than that. But it's even more challenging to face life on life's terms, and that is where faith can strengthen us. It takes practice. Living a life that embodies faith, trusting God's love to show us the way, as we walk through this life, and practice, even if it doesn't make perfect, it makes life richer and more meaningful. And that's a great place to start. Maybe faith and trust in God are like muscles, like the capacity to love. And if we exercise them, they get stronger. And who knows, if our faith can be increased even a little bit, we might find ourselves, much to our surprise, loving our enemies, or inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind to our dinner parties, or rethinking who's included in our families, or going out bravely after the one who is lost, or taking up our crosses and following Jesus through the cross into the resurrection. I want to assure you all, you have enough faith. You have that mustard seed of faith. Let's cultivate it. Put a little compost on it. Water it, and it will grow. Amen. Amen.